Morning, campers. How you doing? All right. All right. In light of the whole beach ball thing, I thought what we'd do is we'd have a little best butts in the Bible theme tune competition between side A and side B. So we'll start with side B because I do everything wrong. So side B, first of all, I want to give you your best. Ba 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 da ba ba da ba da. Can you guys do better than that? Here we go. Ready? Ba 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 da ba ba da ba da. Now you guys got to beat that, okay? Because you really did, you didn't warm up properly, okay? So I want you to sort of like just sort of big up your chest. Right, are you ready? Here we go. I want it to be louder. One, two, three. Ba 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 da ba. Best butts in the Bible. And you got one chance left to win the cake. Okay? There is no cake, but if there was cake, you would win it. Here we go. One, two, three. Ba 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 da ba ba da ba da. But you know the great thing? We're all brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? So let's all do it together. Ba 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 da ba ba da ba da. Happy days, right, brilliant. Guys, I'm gonna talk to you about a butt that Jesus talked about this morning. But before I do, I actually want to just tell you a little bit of my story. Somebody said to me last night, they said, you know, Dyer, I've never seen you emotional before after I preached, because I got a little bit, I guess, emotional. And I'm not a cyborg. I do have feelings. And I'm a real person. I've had a real life. So what I thought I'd do is I'd just tell you a little bit about my life, not so much before I was a Christian, but after I became a Christian. Because I reckon there's one pitfall which is probably waiting for every single one of you as Christians. And let me tell you about myself. When I was 15, I went on a Christian camp, a bit like this, but a bit more sort of ip, old school than this one. You had hymn books and stuff, do you know what I mean? I didn't even know what I was doing there. In fact, I knew what I wanted to do there. I had a twofold mission statement, right? Mission statement number one, I wanted all the boys to be scared of me. I wanted to be the hardest kid on camp, yeah? I wasn't a Christian. I just wanted to be like, you know, I want all the boys to think I was rock. So I was in my shave, back of my head, and my earring, like, you know, proper, in it. And the other thing I wanted is I wanted all the girls to fancy me. That was my twofold mission statement. All the boys know exactly what I mean, because you're the same even this week. You are, right? But here's the problem. All the girls were scared of me. And the blokes just saw that I was an utter twonk. So my kind of mission statement, my plan for the week kind of backfired. But there was an inbuilt craving in my life, and it didn't go away when I became a Christian, and that was this: to be in a relationship. I wanted to be in a relationship. And if I could single out the one thing in my life, I'm 32 now, yeah, and I've got a beautiful wife. My family's lush. I just love I love the family that I've got. And I would say, on the surface of it, if it wasn't for God's grace, I don't deserve to be with Michelle. I don't deserve to have the kids that I want. My life has been an absolute train wreck when it comes to relationships. After I became a Christian, I've gotten so many stupid relationships because I thought that was what was going to make me happy. I think, and I'm not saying this because I'm proud of it, I'm thoroughly ashamed of this. Between the age of 16 and I think it's 24, the longest I went without a girlfriend was 6 weeks. And I broke a lot of girls' hearts, and a lot of girls broke my heart. And there's a lot of damage done because there was a craving in my heart to be in a relationship, and I couldn't handle it in a healthy way. And neither could they. And I want to say to you guys that one of the biggest things, like, it's an absolutely God-given desire. I'm not saying you can turn off that kind of I want to be with someone thing in your life. And some of you are just like grappling with that now. You're teenagers, and you get what I'm on about. You can't turn that off. But if you're not careful, it could be like a train going down a hill with no brakes, and it can absolutely like just destroy you. And if it wasn't for the grace of God and the forgiveness that God gives to scumbags like me, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. I wouldn't be in the family that I've got. God is gracious. He's blessed me with a family that I don't deserve. And, like, you know, I can't look at Michelle and not think, Lord, why did you give me someone like that? Because I don't deserve it. But God's good. And I want to share that because I think that relationships is a massive issue for you. I don't generally talk about relationships because I just normally, like, scare people when I do, and I'm just not very good at it anyway. But I want to tell you a story before we get to this butt in the Bible. It's a story of a woman who had a very similar problem to me. A woman who had relationship after relationship after relationship. She would have been born probably just a normal situation in a normal family in a country called Samaria. And she got married one day and that didn't work out. But she was so craving relationships, she got married again. That didn't work out. She got married again. That didn't work out. She got married 5 times. And every single one of those marriages fell apart. And she was probably like just the laughing stock of the town. She was probably just shamed. She was probably just like a gossip. You know, people gossiped about her. Oh, that's that woman. That's that, you know, that's that whatever, you know, whatever name you want to attach to her. And in that area, there was a well where you went to get your water because they didn't have taps back in those days. And she would have to go out when no one else was getting the water. If you wanted water, you go first thing in the morning before it got too hot because it was jolly hot in that part of the world, right? Or you go last thing at night when it wasn't too hot. She had to go at 12 noon to get her water because she just didn't want to be rubbing shoulders with everybody else who went to get the water because they didn't want nothing to do with her because she was a relational just disaster. The women in the town wouldn't let their husbands go anywhere near her. She was just a broken woman. And yet she had, in her brokenness, this kind of deep down spiritual kind of yearning, like, She had a desire. She had some kind of like, I know there's something out there. I do believe in God, kind of. But like, it's just not making sense in my life right now. All I'm feeling is brokenness. And one day Jesus steps to her and he says this really cool thing to her. She's at the well and Jesus comes and says, excuse me, can you give me a drink? Actually, he says, woman, give me a drink. But like, you know, I'm being polite on Jesus' behalf. He said, excuse me, because if it was in Wales or something, that's probably what he would have said. But he said, give me a drink. And this is what she said. Hang on, other page. There you go. Jesus said, actually, he just said, give me a drink. I love that. He just said, give me a drink. And the woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Jesus should not have had anything to do with this woman for 3 reasons, okay? First reason, she was a woman. Blokes didn't talk to women in that culture. Second reason, he was a Jew, she was a Samaritan. That was like England, Wales on match day. You just don't talk to each other, yeah? But forever. Like, and also, she was just like a shamed sinner. And as a prophet or whatever people saw, a rabbi, he probably shouldn't have had anything to do with her as far as the religious leaders were concerned. But Jesus looked at her, he saw her brokenness, and he said, you know what? I've come for people like you. Let's have a chat. Let's have a drink of water. And they get chatting. And this is what Jesus says. And I think this is just an awesome scripture. So if you just go to that slide, bounce on two. There you go. Jesus said to this woman, who was, like last night, now when I put my talks together for last night and this morning, I hadn't twigged that I'd be talking about being thirsty last night and again this morning about water, but that's just how it's worked out. So in case you didn't get it last night, let me just give you a quick scripture. Jesus said to this woman, this broken woman, he said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Because this world has got things which will satisfy you for a moment, but nothing will satisfy you forever in this world. You know, you can be in a relationship, you can get your education, you can make your money, you can have your nice house, you can have your happy family, whatever it is, but that's not going to satisfy you forever. But Jesus says, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. If some of you are thinking that a relationship is going to make you happy, I want to tell you, it's not eternally going to make you happy. I might give you a quick buzz, but a lot of you by this age have already had your fingers burnt more than once, and you know that it hurts. And the next time it hurts a little bit more, but it gets a little bit more numb as well. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Guys, my simple message this morning is, what is it that you think is going to satisfy you deep down? Are you satisfied right now? You live in a world that constantly wants more. It's just programmed into us. I'm getting really frustrated right now because I want a new mobile phone. But like a Wally, I signed an 18-month contract rather than a 12-month. And it feels like I got to wait for a lifetime before I can get out in March. I'm like, just let me out. My phone's rubbish. Because I want a better phone. I think that I need another phone. And we all need new clothes. We all need new identity. We all need new mobile phones. Or we need the latest this, that, or the other. We need to be downloading the latest tracks, wearing the latest trainers, whatever. But that doesn't truly satisfy us. Mick Jagger, you've all probably heard of him. The lead singer of the Rolling Stones. Looks a bit like a prune. Yeah, well, he's like, yeah. And he said this with his prunish good looks. He said, I can't get no satisfaction. He could have had whatever he wanted in this world. Anything that money could buy. Women threw themselves at him, literally. Like, you know, he had whatever car he wanted. He lived in a mansion. You know, he had fame. Everyone knew his name. He'd been on the front cover of, funny enough, Rolling Stone magazine. You know, he had it all, guys. And he still sang, and we still hear the song on the radio today, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction." And I want to ask you, just be honest with yourself today, are you satisfied right now? Not if you just get that one little thing, not if you just seal the deal on the relationship that you're working on camp this week, not if you get, like, you know, the GCSEs or the A-levels you want, not any of that. Right now, are you satisfied? Could you just look at God and go, "There's nothing more I could want, Lord. There's nothing more I could want"? Because in my life, I want to tell you this, after a really, really, really traumatic relationship breakup, I got to the point for the first time in my life where I said, "God, firstly," I said, "I'm really sorry for what I've done with my life, for what I've done relationally with my life. But I want to say to you that the grace I've received," because I experienced God in a real deep way where he forgave me and cleansed me on the inside. He made me new inside. Not that I was already a Christian, but even as a Christian, I needed something deep for, you know, the Holy Spirit to do in my life. I said, "God, forgive me." And for the first time in my life, I could genuinely say to God, "Literally, God, me and you, and that's cool. That's cool. If I'm single for the rest of my life, I literally don't care. I just want you, Jesus." And we sing these songs, and we've been singing all week. And it's all about, you know, "I give you everything," and, like, you know, "There's none but you," and whatever else we're singing, guys. And do you know what? We can say those words, but the true gauge of whether you are truly satisfied right now is if you really mean them. Are you okay with just Jesus? This woman, bless her, she only went for a cup of squash or something, and she ends up with Jesus saying to her, "This sucks. I can give you something which will truly satisfy you deep down forever." If you want to be satisfied, you need to come to Jesus. And you need him to give you the water, the living water, which will give you what you need deep down and forever. You will never be thirsty forever. Look at that phrase. I love it. "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty forever." Forever. Your whole life and beyond is going to be okay, because Jesus in you is going to be okay. Have you got that spring of water in your heart welling up to eternal life? Or are you actually thirsting for more? Is Jesus not enough? Do you want Jesus to be your super vending machine? It's like, "Jesus, I love you, but I need a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Cha-ching, I need those GCSE results. Cha-ching, I need some new clothes. Cha-ching, I need a better phone. Cha-ching." And we just think that, like, if God plus something will make us happy, you're not satisfied. Guys, you got to get this. Jesus is enough. I love in this story, the woman, like, they have a bit of a chat about worship and all that, and she basically encounters Jesus. She takes Jesus at his word. She goes back to her hometown, where she's known as nothing but a local hoe, and she tells everyone, "You know, I just met this incredible guy who just, like, knew my life, and he spoke to me, and he's given me water, and it satisfied me." And, like, the whole, like, it says many in that area put their faith in Jesus. Because this woman who'd been just trampled on by life, all of a sudden had come back a different person. And people could see there was some water bubbling up in her life, and it was good. I want to say to you guys this week that no matter what people thought of you when you came to camp, no matter what state you arrived at this well right now, when you go back, you can be different. You can be bubbling with Jesus, and you can change people's lives because you've got the water that they're truly craving. This woman went on her own ashamed, and she went back and started a revival. That's amazing. So I want to pray for you, like, that just you find your satisfaction, not in the things of this world, not in the broken cisterns that we try and dig, not in the wells that we think we need to dip our bucket in. But I want to pray this week you dip your bucket good and proper in Jesus Christ. And you find that he tastes good. And you go back and you just splosh that water over everyone you come across. Let them see Jesus in you. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you are so gracious to meet with people like us and women like that. And thank you that you see through our facades and our masks and through our brokenness. And you look at our history and you know who we've been and how we've been. And yet you don't give us condemnation. You didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. And this woman, Lord, you gave her what her soul truly craved. Lord, thank you for giving me what my soul truly craved. Thank you that my wife and my kids are a blessing, but they're not the end in itself. I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord. Be enough for them. Be enough for them. Satisfy them, God. Be all that you are in them and through them. And when they go back to wherever they go, would you do great things through them? In Jesus' name, amen.